her straight out of bed, but how she could transform. One of the things that makes Tyra so unique is her facial expressions. She can look chic and glamorous, but she can also look like she belongs on Saturday Night Live. She must have about 37 more muscles in her face than the rest of us. When she really wants to turn it up a notch, she can contort them till she looks buck wild crazy. I swear she isn't, though. She's a chameleon. Whatever you want her to be, she can be. So when I see her transform, it's kind of spectacular. I look at her like, wow, I created a princess, a doll, a tiger, a gazelle, a mermaid. And then she makes a crazy face and I think, a fool. I created a fool.
Any model who thinks she's got a one-way ticket to the top just because of her natural beauty has another thing coming. Natural beauty may get you about 2 steps up the stairway to success, but then you gotta work. But who could blame a woman for thinking that natural beauty is something to bank on? So many people reward natural beauty with power. So oftentimes, cookie-cutter beauties get all sorts of perks, from more money in their jobs to rich men who want to take care of them. Studies have shown that women who are perceived as more attractive make 5% more at work and even get higher grades in school. So are we going to say that beautiful women are more intelligent and better employees? Or that the world has a discriminatory bias? My money's on the bias, baby, even though it's hardly ever acknowledged. But I think that's changing as I speak right now. In a 2017 Allure essay called Being Pretty is a Privilege, But We Refuse to Acknowledge It, Janet Mock wrote about how we live in a culture that says a woman's looks are her worth, and that pretty people do get special treatment, and that we need to take some ownership of that, that there is favoritism everywhere based on how people look. Janet went on to say that beauty isn't something she worked super hard for, but that her looks have helped her journey big time. I smacked the table and yelled hallelujah when I read that. She damn near blew my mind because she was articulating so many thoughts I'd had over the years and blowing open a whole new conversation. These are exactly the kinds of things we need to talk about when we talk about beauty, especially as we, and when I say we, I mean society, from tabloids to television shows, social media, and online commenters, love to look down on women who try to make themselves more beautiful so that they can get a little bit of that same privilege and power. Oh my God, did you see her? What the hell does she think she's doing? She's got so much surgery. That's awful. Yeah, her surgery may look a little, overdone. But come on, we gotta be real and admit that our society did that to her. It does it to all of us in some way. Shoot, I wrote this part as I was getting a floor-length weave sewn in. Shoot, man, I know as a model I represented a look that was pretty intimidating, and I would go overboard to dispel the myths of perfection. As more and more women and men embrace the beautification tools that are available to them, and those tools become easier and easier to use, it's not too inconceivable to think that soon we'll be rolling through the drive-thru to get some cheek implants with our iced blueberry, decaf, green tea, mocha, quinoa, unicorn, Pegasus, Ramboozles. I think that we'll see big shifts in the perception of beauty.
If you want proof of how much the perception of beauty changes in just a few decades, look no further than my high school pictures. Tyra loves to tease me and say that I looked 15 going on 35, but everybody did in the 60s. Helmet hair was all the rage back then, and hell, if we could stand outside in the wind and it didn't ruffle a single strand, then we thought our bangs were banging.
Mama's right. Beauty has already shifted to a much more undone state than it was in her day. No one was rocking beach waves and BB cream at her high school graduation, and it was all about the bouffants and the lashes so solid they could cast a shadow. I think that in the future, the most prized looks will be the flossom ones. Never heard of flossom? It's a word I made up. It's flaws plus awesome. So the flossom ones will be most prized, not the perfect ones. Then you might have people lining up to get their ears tweaked to stick out because that connotes youth, or wearing contacts to turn their blue eyes to dark brown. People will be using darkening creams to bring out their freckles, and dentists will make millions specializing in creating strategic imperfections. Who knows? I mean, shoot, in the Renaissance times, people used to go out of their way to turn their low foreheads into five heads. People were putting themselves through pain to achieve my lobe by plucking or pulling out their hair. You know, I wish I could create my very own time capsule of the non-cookie-cutter beauty trends that I see coming and stuff them in that box today. And then 500 years from now, someone opens it and announces to the world that I was right. The one thing I do know is that the world's perception of beauty is constantly changing. Trying to keep up and adapt to what everyone else thinks is beautiful is so damn tiring. I'm tired just talking about it. One year, we're supposed to have a small butt. Years later, it should be gargantuan and look like that peach emoji. Big boobs are all the rage. Oops, now a flat chest and no bra is what women crave. Thick brows are what everyone wants. Wait, what's that? Oh, you plucked them bare a couple of years ago when everyone wanted brows that looked like they were drawn on with a pencil, and now they won't grow back? Damn. Or how about the time you dropped some lie bills at the salon, only to have someone later that day tell you relaxed hair is so last year? All the cool girls are going natural now, and honey, a 70s afro would look so cute on you. So you just sit there and smile, thinking about your empty wallet and how it all makes you so frustrated you could eat your hot comb.
Curvilicious is definitely more of a trend today than it was when high fashion told Tyra to take a hike. And that was when we hiked ourselves over to the pizza place. And I love seeing modeling embrace bigger girls like Precious Lee and Tyra's girl Ashley Graham. But I'll always respect the thin girls, because that was Tyra at one time, too. I always wanted her to feel good about herself, no matter what size her body was demanding it be at that moment. Mama Carolyn loves her baby girl, and every woman round this world, through thick, thin, and in between.
Don't get hung up on natural versus unnatural beauty, 'cause the end result is all the same. Your reflection should make you smize because you look just how you want to look. When it comes to beauty, it ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. What matters most is that you feel like you are good enough. Maybe you hate makeup and you think you look best with just a little tinted moisturizer. You go. Maybe you don't want to leave your house without a full face contour and some serious eyebrow microblading. You go too. As women, we have to be careful because there are all sorts of unseen enemies out there lurking. And sometimes this enemy is sitting at your dining room table eating food that you cooked, trying to make you think that you are not enough and that feeling beautiful is reserved for those other women, women who are not anything like you. There are other types of enemies who will go on and on about how you look better without makeup, when what they really mean is they don't want you looking and feeling your best because they are scared to lose you. 'Cause your bright red lips and chiseled contoured cheeks were what caught their eye in the first place. So you gotta watch out for this type and learn to recognize the signs when they say, "What's that crap all over your face?" So that when you do come across any of these frenemies, you can just poke them in the eye with your mascara wand. Now, I mean that figuratively, not literally. They are not worth your time or lip liner. It's unrealistic to expect to feel 100% good about yourself 100% of the time. There will always be little things that you don't like or wish you could change, and those things will probably change from day to day. But don't spend too much time worrying about it. Fix it or flaunt it, then get on with it. You and your flawsome self got shit to do. I'm at a party, eating damn near all the snacks, yes to those tiny crab cakes, and sipping on a cucumber mint lemonade when I spot a modeling agent I've known for years. I'm practically pulling my arm out of the socket waving at him, but when he finally does come over to say hi, he seems less than pleased to see me. In fact, he seems almost pissed. "Tyra girl, I am so over you," he says. "Oh my God, do they run out of crab cakes?" He shakes his head and sips his vodka soda. "These open calls are running me ragged. We've got girls lining up at the agency at 6 a.m. One of them even brought a lawn chair. All day they just keep coming. We can't take a lunch. We can't schedule any meetings. We can't get any work done." "Wow, that's bananas," I say while snatching a spring roll. "Why are you mad at me?" I gotta admit, he does look weary. And if we were on a plane, those bags under his eyes would not fit under the seat. Because your ass is on Top Model every week telling all these girls all over the world that they're all special and that they can be models, and they believe you. He signals the waiter for another vodka soda. We used to have about 7 girls a week show up for our open calls. Now we get hundreds. Last Thursday, it was so busy, all I ate all day was a half a Luna bar I found in the trash. He shakes his head like today's the saddest day of his life. And it was a lemon one, and I don't even like the lemon ones. As I continue to stuff my face, he continues his diatribe. So we're just going to stop walk-ins and have them mail in pics or send them in online. So let me get this straight, I say. America's Next Top Model killed the modeling agency open call because now there are thousands of girls out there who recognize their own beauty and feel that they could walk the runway or be on the cover of a magazine too? Yep, he says, jabbing a cocktail straw at me like it's a dagger. And it's all your fault, bitch. Now I'm trying to keep a smile off my face because it may be a problem for him that more women now consider themselves beautiful because of Top Model. But it's a major win for Tizonia, the modeling profession, and the entire friggin' planet. Low self-esteem and lack of self-worth are plagues, and we have to eradicate them. Expanding what is considered beautiful in our culture is a huge leap in the right direction, and more of those atypical girls lining up for the modeling agency open calls will get signed because of it, aka making an agent's job easier because he'll have more models to work with than ever before. I want to keep pushing and keep blowing the beauty door open so that eventually every woman feels like the idea of beauty applies to her in some way, some shape, or some form. One of my favorite things about Top Model was taking the contestants' ideas of beauty and putting them in the Vitamix until they were completely unrecognizable, but just as tasty, if not even sweeter. Over the course of a cycle, I tried to get the girls to look beyond the traditional definitions of desirable that they've been indoctrinated with since they were just tykes in their strollers, reaching for the blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby doll. It is the most rewarding experience for me when a girl starts to embrace and flaunt the very things she once hated about herself. One season of Top Model, we had a stunning model who had skin the color of my mom's, which for African Americans is considered medium-hued, but she said that where she's from, it's considered very dark. Dang, that girl was so unique and interesting looking with that strong, square head shape I adore. She always wore light-colored eye contacts, and to the panel of judges, they stood out on her face, not always in the best way. When I finally asked her about them, she said that she was taught that the darker you are, the more you need to attain stereotypical beauty in other ways. I worked overtime to boost her confidence from week to week to show her just how special her reflection was. Finally, she appeared in the judging room one day without the contacts, and she had the most gorgeous cocoa-colored eyes. She told me that although she had not expected it, she had never felt more beautiful or better about herself than she did on Top Model. When she said that, I had a hard time holding back my tears, and I had to learn to hold back my tears on Top Model or I would have just bawled my eyes out through each and every episode, and no one wants to watch 24 cycles of Tyra crying. Her words really touched me, and I felt for all my deeply hued sisters who have ever felt or heard anything negative about their skin color. I hope that they got a little bit of healing along with my model in that moment, and had a little or a hell of a lot more appreciation for their beautiful skin color, no matter what stunning shade it was the next time they stood in front of a mirror. To this day, my Top Model casting team and I are obsessed with showcasing a myriad of skin tones on our show, from alabaster to butterscotch to ebony and everything in between. When my boy Lin-Manuel Miranda, the creator of Hamilton, accepted his Tony Award just hours after the deadly mass shooting at the gay club Pulse in Orlando, he recited a poem he had written about it. The line, "and love is 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 love," hasn't left my brain since I heard it in that moment. It's a powerful reminder to accept love in its whole, true, pure form. And I like to mirror him by saying, "beauty is beauty is beauty is beauty is beauty." No slicing and dicing beauty into a series of rights and wrongs, greater thans and less thans. It just is. Your beauty is beautiful. My favorite Flossom beauty traits on beautiful people like you. Freckles, obsessed, frizzy hair, unibrows, bald heads, a chipped front tooth, different color eyes, eyes that are too far apart, very square heads, super round faces, tiny boobies, five heads, I know, I'm biased, skin that is two or more different colors, being super tall, being super short, a crooked smile, a mole in the quote-unquote wrong place. We all want what we don't have. When I saw a girl standing in front of me wearing contact lenses to get my eye color, all I could think about was how my entire life I have been surrounded by imagery and people saying her hair texture was the absolute ultimate. Dozens of wigs and weaves later, I still struggle with what was drilled into my head by society as a kid. Hair is very emotional for women and is oftentimes a political thing too. Those struggles in my community and many others continue to this day. When it comes to our reflections, the grass-colored eyeshadow is always greener in someone else's makeup caddy, to name just a few. Girls with straight hair want curls and beachy waves, but curly girls get Brazilian blowouts and no-lie relaxer treatments. Girls with unibrows don't leave home without their tweezers in tow, while the thin-browed ladies will go down swinging to save their eyebrow pencil. There are pale girls slathering on that bronzer, while some darker-hued girls are investing in lightening creams. The thin-lipped are getting injections to plump up their pouts, while some with naturally bodacious smackers are using plastic surgery to reduce theirs. Yeah, Google it. The pictures are like, whoa.
I love that, Ty. You're making Mama really proud right now.
Now's the time where you're probably thinking, so Tyra, if you want to make the girls feel better about themselves, and if you're all crying and boohooing over your model's breakthrough, then why the heck are you giving them makeovers every damn season? Well, I'm glad you asked, because boo, I am not giving them makeovers. I'm giving them tie-overs, and that's a whole different type of thing. The harsh truth that I found out as a young model is that not every flaw can be flaunted in fashion. This is especially true and probably especially harsh in the world of modeling, where you are trying to build a career by selling your physicality and image to clients. Modeling takes real-world scrutiny and kicks it up 10 notches, hell, maybe even 100. And it's crazy because you may be pretty much okay with how you look, but then you get signed to a modeling agency and all of a sudden you're hearing all kinds of crazy stuff about yourself that you were never insecure about. Like, what the heck do you mean that my calves are not in proportion to my thighs, or that my waist is too long to look good in a bikini, or my belly button is odd because it's neither an innie nor an outie, or that my profile is too flat, or that when I smile, my top lip disappears and I have to learn a smile not as real to keep the fullness in my upper lip? The industry needs to realize the power it wields with this kind of feedback. And Miss Tai Tai is the recipient of all those comments, by the way.
When Tyra would hear those kind of things, she always took it like a pro. However, Mama was the one who'd start foaming at the mouth and looking around for something or someone to smack. Sometimes I'd even have to excuse myself and go to the bathroom just to take a few breaths to calm down, because I knew swiping an agent's desk and throwing their stuff all over the floor wasn't going to help my baby get booked.
It feels that those fashion biz powers that be in black are just hating on you hard, and they are, but in a different way. They're hating to lose money and wanting you to be as marketable as possible. So they break it all down and often break you down in the process. But yeah, it's just business. Soul-crushing business if you're not strong enough to take it, shake it, then make it. And for the models who quit the biz and say, enough, I say bravo for being self-aware that this sometimes painful business is not for you. I am so happy to see that the industry is cracking down on harassment. Casting director James Scully has emerged as a powerful advocate for change, and there are wonderful former agents of mine, one being Oscar Reyes, who genuinely champion diversity and models' well-being. And this is just the beginning. There is no reason we can't give the whole industry a tie-over. Now, with a tie-over, I'm trying to pull something unusual out of the girl and push her towards something that is marketable as a model. Truthfully, sometimes this is just about making someone a little more conventional because that's how she will get the most work as a model. Other times, and in fact most of the time and the most exciting, it is not about making someone the prettiest girl in that long-ass line at In-N-Out Burger, but about giving her a look that is edgy, weird, interesting, or unforgettable. There are no hard and fast rules for a tie-over, as in Tyra thinks a bob looks good on everyone. You get a bob, and you get a bob, and you get a bob. Because I am always looking at the individual girl and asking myself, what does she need to take her look and career to the next level? Modeling is a fluid and always changing industry, so each model has to take trends and timing into account when she's launching her career. You don't want to go in looking like everyone else, but you also don't want to go in with a look that's so off-trend you'll never get booked. Although every blue moon, a totally out-there girl comes into the industry and rocks it from H to T. Another thing I made up, head to toe. Early in Top Model, we had a southern stunner of a girl come on who had a very large gap between her front teeth. This was after supermodel Lauren Hutton, but before supermodel Lara Stone, and I felt like it could really hurt her chances of getting booked. In person, the gap was so cute and charming, but it didn't necessarily translate on camera. I ran her photos by some agent friends of mine at different agencies, and they said they didn't think they could market her. Yep, I get advice on tie-overs often, off camera. Yep, tie-tie gets help. So I suggested she have a dental procedure to reduce the gap, and she was not happy with me about it. I don't blame her. I love a model who has an opinion, but I was steadfast in my belief and advice from top agent pros that this was something she needed to do if she seriously wanted to pursue a successful modeling career. She had a charming down south accent, all kinds of swag, the most precious full lips, cheekbones that could slice pepperjack cheese, and a smize that could start fires. Plus, the girl could dominate a runway. As much as I admired her hustle, I didn't want to see her miss out on some great opportunities because of one small trait. Yeah, this is that whole difficult side of modeling I was talking about earlier. Finally, she agreed to have the dental work done. This dynamite girl ended up winning the cycle and booking top national modeling jobs. She still models and is an entrepreneur to boot. I scanned her Instagram page and beamed with pride at how well that Southern country cutie's doing. So yeah, I was glad she took my advice. She also didn't choose to reverse the procedure, even though it wasn't permanent. But if she wanted to open that gap today and ask me if I thought she should, I'd say yes. But the whole situation still makes me go, and I'm torn about whether I did the right thing. Closing the gap got her ready to book the most modeling jobs, my mission. But letting it be would have expanded the definition of beauty. Again, my mission, even if it meant sacrificing lots of work. I struggle with this kind of trade-off every season of Top Model, in some way or another, and the dilemmas stick with me. I wear two hats, model mentor and beauty crusader. Usually they're BFFs, but sometimes they have to duke it out. So as you listen to this and can feel the dilemma, what would you have done? Close the gap so she could rock more billboards and posters? Or left it alone so she could be the gap-tooth poster child? One decision is for her. The other is for, well, others. Maybe I should have left it alone on the show and then let her agent advise her after we wrapped. Two birds, one stone. Yeah, that's what I should have done. Damn. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Why is everything always crystal clear years later? Cut to a few years later, during our petite cycle. What's up, my 5'7 and under cuties around the world? I urged one of my models to take the opposite course and widen her existing gap. She went along with this suggestion, agreeing that it would help give her a certain edge. And it worked great in her photos, and she rode the wave of the Lara Stone trend. The gap-tooth supermodel of that moment. I got so much flack for this. Flack in tweets, comments, emails, snail mail. Tyra, you minimized one girl's gap seasons ago and maximized another's. What? On the surface, it looks really confusing. I get it. But it's the fashion biz, so you've got to look deeper. These two beautiful girls were very different models at very different times in an ever-changing industry. Everyone is an individual, and I treat all my girls that way, by individually assessing them. There are no hard and fast rules as to what features work in modeling and what features don't. But there is something called a trend. Yep, the T word. And when a trend is coming for you, sometimes the only thing you can do is saddle up and ride it all the way to the bank. And I want as many girls as possible riding money horses of their own, a whole fleet of flossom cowgirls. So when I see something that may stand in the way of a girl and her bank account reaching her full potential, that's when the extra nuances of a tie-over come in. And yep, the whole tug of war starts up all over again. Should I? Shouldn't I? It takes a certain look and spirit to get in the door of the modeling world. But even once you're in, the client and the industry are still going to have a lot to say. A whole hell of a lot. Every time a model gets hired, she may want to walk on set and say, "Take me as I am." But get this. The very core of the modeling powers that be is not to just take you as you are. They may fall in love with some of your flossom features. Heck yeah, celebrate. But often they take you and make you and bake you into whatever different version of you works best for their brand, magazine, product, agency, or idea. It's also business, and they take care of theirs just as much as you have to take care of yours. You can always say no, and you should, if you feel like something you are being asked to do will compromise your health, your safety, your reputation, or your standards. Shoot, I want you to give a big hail to the no, because that would be quite appropriate. When the high fashion world was asking me to lose a lot of weight, my mother and I decided to walk away, because we knew I'd be jeopardizing my mental and physical well-being if I did so. I mean, have you picked up on how much I like food by how much I talk about it in this book? Refusing to lose weight was a calculated risk that I took, and it paid off. However, if you are a model who is just getting started and you cry and run off the set the first time someone suggests you dye your hair, you're also taking a risk, one that might not pay off. Maybe you're playing it too safe. Hair grows back. Don't love your tresses transformation? Cover it up. Lace front wigs are one of the world's greatest inventions, right up there with talk to text and single serving packets of barbecue sauce. So wear them. Shoot, I got tons of wigs in every color and texture in storage. Hit me up if you're willing to dig through the piles to find one that suits your fancy.
One of Tyra's biggest talents with makeovers is that she helps you think outside the box. Sometimes that takes a nudge, sometimes it takes a shove. But once you're outside that box, you can't believe you wasted so much time in there. And I speak from experience here. I've gotten a tie over myself. A few years ago, I was getting ready for a black tie event. I'd always interpreted black tie pretty literally. I wore all black. It was conservative, safe, and I have to admit, a little boring, especially because I paired it with the pageboy hairdo and makeup that I wore every day to the office. No frills, no shine, no fun. Tyra threw that right back in the closet. She got me a floor-length purple and blue gown with a pattern hem and rhinestone details around the neck. It was a mix of an exotic kaftan and a beautiful Indian sari. I never would have picked out something that colorful and sparkly for myself, but I have to say, I looked like a queen. She styled my hair in full-bodied shoulder grazing curls with a dramatic smoky eye and lip gloss that shone as bright as a diamond. When I arrived at the event, I got compliments like you wouldn't believe. A couple of people didn't even recognize me. And boo, I even got hit on a couple of times. So thanks, baby girl, for giving Mama a night to remember.
Now, I didn't give Mama a makeover that time because she looked bad before. No, she looked fine. She looked good. But that was one of those times where fine and good didn't cut it. I wanted her to know what it felt like to look stunning. But still, that was more of a traditional makeover and not like the tie-overs I give on Top Model. A tie-over is about fashion and modeling, whereas a traditional makeover is about making you the prettiest version of yourself. In the modeling world, the prettiest version of you sometimes translates to boring and commercial. And that won't necessarily get you booked in Paris or Milan. Girls sometimes hate the results of their tieovers because they just want to look like the prettiest girl in the club. Sometimes a tieover even takes more than just one try to get it right because a hairdresser has a different vision than I do. Whereas I'm often trying to make them look like a strange, elegant, eccentric piece of art that stands out on the runway. Sometimes that takes a bowl cut. And let's face it, no girl wants a bowl cut because most boys bouncing to EDM aren't trying to holler at a girl with Paul McCartney's do. So let's be clear. Just like being an amazing home cook who hosts the best Thanksgiving and being the head chef at a 5-star restaurant require separate skill sets, being a pretty girl and being a model are also two different things. Models aren't always pretty, but they have a look that translates an idea and that can be sold. They can be odd, quirky, weird, awkward, debatable beauties. I gotta admit, though, those ones are my faves. I wish I could take credit for this next quote, but it was actually my friend, who's also a former model, Yanice, who said, "You can't be a high fashion model unless you cried your way through adolescence." There are beautiful, gorgeous girls everywhere on this globe who smoke models on the beauty front hands down. I see them every day. Woo, they are stunners, but not necessarily models.
Lord, is that true? Sometimes, if I close my eyes, I can still hear Tyra's boo-hoos echoing down our hallway. I only wish I could have wiped that pain away by telling her what was coming, but she never would have believed me anyway.
Like I said, high-fashion models often tend to have something a little odd or weird about them. Their eyes might be too close together, too far apart, their forehead is probably too big, their chin is probably too short, their lips are probably too wide or too narrow or too small or too big. All the things that people give you so much crap for in elementary, junior high, and high school. If you were that popular cheerleader and everybody on campus, boys and girls, wanted to take you to prom, girl, you didn't cry enough. High fashion is probably not for you. And that is okay. On Top Model, when all my girls are crying about being teased when they were little because they were so awkward, I'm like, high fashion. Let me just open these editorial velvet ropes for you, child. Come right on in. When you see the girls on Top Model, it's not just a coincidence that there are all types of different looks up there. I deliberately choose to aggressively expand the definition of beauty so that throughout the various seasons, everyone watching can find someone who kind of looks like them. That way, when I'm showering these atypical model hopefuls on TV with all kinds of kudos about how fierce their pics are and how stunning they are, young viewers at home who share some of those attributes can begin to accept what makes them different and unique. That is, in a nutshell, what I want to do with Top Model. Expand the definition of beauty so that women can learn to appreciate themselves and also give them a whole toolbox full of tricks to fix or flaunt what they've got. Let's face it. A lot of women want to look like everybody else because their entire life they've been told that's what beauty is. They want to be cookie cutter pretty, but I ain't about using cookie cutters. I'm trying to hand shape each cookie into something special. It might be lumpy and bumpy and no one at Starbucks wants to buy it, but it'll make the whole darn world a lot tastier. And it'll take fashion's breath away too. And maybe the boy standing in that long-ass In-N-Out burger line, too, one day. Out of your comfort zone versus the no-go zone. When you step out of your comfort zone, it's important to stop stepping before you get into the uncomfy zone. Out of your comfort zone feels new and exciting, and you're discovering aspects of yourself you never knew existed. The no-go zone is where you do things that make you feel worse, not better, about yourself, and where you make choices you might regret. Avoid the no-go zone at all costs. Here's a list of out-of-your-comfort-zone things that we think are good. New hair color.
New haircut.
Shaving your head.
Skipping armpit shaving.
Going natural.
Adding hair extensions for the first time.
Overcoming fears. Like posing with spiders.
Taking risks, like floating in a wind tunnel.
Dressing in drag. Now this is the no-go zone.
Hanging out solo in a non-work environment with any men or women you do not trust.
Stealing from the company you work for, helping a coworker cheat, or falsifying information.
Anyone, anywhere, ever who offers you work in return for sexual favors.
Drugs, including alcohol, and anyone who pressures you to do them.
Crazy weight loss tips or starvation diets.
Signing contracts you have not read or do not have the opportunity to have a lawyer review. Anyone who throws a fit about you wanting to understand something before you sign it does not have your best interests in mind.
I'm always touched when I hear Tyra rally for all the atypical girls who break the mold, because I was one of those girls, and I know Tyra was too. She may be fierce and flossom, and damn near 6 feet tall, today, but I know there's still a skinny, insecure 11-year-old girl hidden deep inside under all those wigs and false lashes. The cookie-cutter girls? They're too worried about being perfect to have much flavor. It's the girls like us. The imperfect ones who spice it up and have all the good dance moves, too.
It's easy to define cookie cutter. You hear those words and an image probably pops into your head immediately. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That person with features that are really pretty, but also really common. Lips just so, hair like, you know, that. Nothing that really stands out. But wait a sec. Think about different. How can you even begin to define different? You got to think about that one for a minute. Chew on it and flip it upside down and backward in your mind. There's so much to different. It could be mismatched colored eyes, freckles, a crooked smile, one dimple, a birthmark, a shaved head. Different is infinite. You never know what to expect. And that, to me, is so exciting. My pet peeve is when we give a girl an amazing tie-over and she does really well on Top Model. Then as soon as the show is over, she goes back to her normal hair and has no career because her boyfriend didn't like that pixie cut or some nonsense like that. I'm like, girl, hello. I'm not saying you have to choose between having a man and being different. No, not at all. I'm just saying get you a man or a woman who appreciates different. Those are the good ones anyway. I had one who loved and was attracted to me no matter. A weave, a slick back, cornrows, my natural no relaxer textured hair, and even me with a scarf tied on my head in the morning. And he hated when I wore bangs. Dang, maybe I should have kept him. Go with option C. I have two selves. I have Tyra, and I have the thing. Tyra puts her son to bed each night with a sloppy kiss, loves frozen dinners, holds business meetings in clothes she's worn 2 days in a row, calls her mama too much, and sits on the couch in sweatpants sending emails while licking the frozen dinner paper container because the sauce is just too good to waste. I mean, have you had that Indian food from Amy's? The Thing hosts all those shows with America in the title, was in all those magazines, and yeah, The Thing is a supermodel. Another supermodel, Cindy Crawford, who is my idol, I love that woman, introduced me to The Thing. That's what she called herself after she'd gone through the works. You get the full face of makeup, you get the hair extensions, and then a few more hair extensions, the body makeup, the boob tape, and the push-up bra, the soft ambient lighting, the photographer who knows your good side, a retoucher who says, poof, it's gone, to any cellulite, stretch marks, zits, wrinkles, bruises, those damn pointy doorknobs in my house, ugh, and a whole team of people and their assistants whose sole purpose for the next 3 hours is to make sure you don't have visible panty lines, a double chin, or kale in your teeth.
But damn, sometimes I have to look twice before it sinks in that The Thing popped out of me all those years ago.
The Thing looks so damn good because it is The Thing's job to look so damn good. There are a lot of people paid a lot of money surrounding The Thing to make sure that happens. As a model, The Thing is your product. It is the commodity that you sell, but it is not who you are. Mama never let me forget that.
When they say they don't want you for a job, they're not talking about you. The Tyra Banks they know? She is not you, I'd say. She is a product on the shelf. The thing. But you, my dear, you are my tie-tie. And you will forever be my special little girl. Never forget it. Sometimes I would grab and shake Tyra. I would have hit her over the head, only with something soft like a pillow or a bag of popcorn, if that was what it took to drill it in. I did not want her to let these powerful bosses in black get to her, because I knew that if she stayed focused, one day they would look at her in awe.
Being a model gave me a behind-the-scenes, up-close-and-all-up-in-it relationship with beauty transformation, because I saw just how much pulling and tugging went into making the thing come to life. Most women don't get to see that. Don't get it twisted now, because many beauty tutorials today have filters, editing, and feels real but ain't tricks. So many people see a produced, finished version of the thing, and if they're at all insecure, and aren't we all to some extent, they end up comparing themselves to it. Damn you thing. So I say to you, yeah, the you who is listening to this right now, stop. Do not do that. But still, I don't blame you if you do, because sometimes it doesn't seem like you have that many options when it comes to how you look. In fact, it usually seems like you have two, option A and option B. Option A is to be completely natural, standing there in nothing but a pair of granny panties without even a touch of mascara, no retouching, and bad posture. Some women who see that start sweating in their Spanx and doubting, thinking maybe they're just fake, superficial chicks after all. Option B is the red carpet and the glossy spreads of fashion magazines full of women who are 5'10 and 110 pounds tops, and social media, where some stars of the gram are edited until they're just one blur away from turning into an anime character. The message of this option is, screw anything and everything that's not perfect, so you better start starving and sculpting now, because I look like this IRL, bitches, in real life. I'm here to advocate for option C, which is, you do you. I love me some makeup because I believe it is the great beauty equalizer. It's leveling the playing field one cosmetics bag at a time. Want cheekbones? Honey, paint them on. Want fierce brows? A little pencil here, a little brow groomer there, and boom! You just framed your smize like it's hanging in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Need a little look at me boost before you walk into a room? Give me an L, give me an I, give me a P, give me an S, give me a T, give me an I. Wait, that's got too many letters in it. You got it. You know I'm spelling out lipstick. I can move on. Okay. As much as I want to tell women to be confident in who they are, I also want them to know that there is no shame in a little contour here and a little tuck there. Stand there in those granny panties, but let me add an hour of makeup to you, a wig and a wind machine, and a retouch blur or two, because you deserve to feel just as glamorous as all those Photoshopped skinny chicks, and curvy ones too. Every woman deserves to feel beautiful, and I love, love, love being able to show a woman just how little it takes to show off a new side of herself. When people come up to me on the street or at events and want to take a selfie, I don't just snap the photo and get out of there. I'm trying to get them the best damn selfie they've ever taken in their lives. So I tell them, here, add a little lip gloss, and we're going to put some on your cheekbones too. Flip all your hair over to the side like that and elongate your neck. Tilt your head this way and put your chin down just a bit. Now let me just move this candle over here so your good sight is lit and snap. I don't need my top model wind machine and a whole team. I just need a camera phone and whatever prop I've got nearby. Then I show her the picture on her phone, and her face transforms into shock, disbelief, and, oh my God, Tyra, I can't believe this is me, joy. This mom or waitress or daughter or bus driver or DMV worker or dentist or accountant or marketing exec or kindergarten teacher who swears she doesn't care about makeup and has never been photogenic is smiling so hard she starts to get a headache at how good she is looking. To me, that elation is the money spot. It makes me so happy. That's what I think the Tyra personal brand, Lordy, I'm up in here talking in the third person, forgive me, but that's what I think my personal brand is about. You don't have to chase something that's impossible and live up to some BS, but you can dream and have fun and enhance what you have. Beauty is not a limited quantity that only gets doled out to a few. Beauty is not one of those tiny appetizers with three bites of hamachi. It's family-style fried chicken. There's plenty to go around, so everyone should dig in and take however much they want. I can't stress that enough, whether you work on a photo set, set the record straight in courtrooms, or work any other job between, you have to follow your gut, even if it's sucked in, and do what makes you comfortable. Maybe that's a lot. Maybe it's a little. Maybe it's none at all. It is about you. End of story. So when you feel forced to choose between A and B, just see your way out of it.
You just need to listen to the title of this book to know how I feel about Cookie Cutter. It's predictable, obvious, boring. And yeah, cookie cutter girls often get preferential treatment in life. It's okay, though. Why? Because they also tend to peak early. So if you've always been a cookie cutter dame and are now 18 years old, enjoy that beauty while it lasts, baby. Because once 28 comes around the bend, you may need to throw a beauty going away party. I'll attend, especially if you got some ice cream. Make mine chocolate chip. The late bloomers, those awkward girls who cry themselves through adolescence, they are the ones who need encouragement and hugs. They have struggled, cried themselves to sleep night after night, and now it's their turn. There were no pretty girl handouts for them, so when that pretty bus stops and invites them on, they're a bit confused and have to be convinced they can step aboard. After years of crying herself to sleep over her reflection, when that bus stopped for Tyra, she hopped on. But before she took her front row seat, she held that door open for millions of other girls to get on the bus. She's still holding it. I'd bet her arms hurt, but it's worth it.
Chapter 9, Embrace Your Booty.
Everyone thought I was on vacation, just letting it all hang out. But really, I was in Australia shooting for Top Model when those photos were taken. People think I got caught during some me time, but child, I was posing. For you. Anyway, you might know the photos I'm talking about. Me, in a brown strapless one-piece swimsuit, on the beach, my hair is flowing, and my ass and thighs, well, some say those were overflowing. I call it curvy, thick, sexy, voluptuous. But the world called it something else. Fat. During that photo shoot, we knew that there were paparazzi in the distance. My security was trained to recognize the glare on a lens, no matter how far away. And when they saw that signature reflection of light way up in the trees, we knew exactly what it was. Whatever, we shrugged it off. Paparazzi come with the territory of being in the public eye, especially on a beach. A beach complete with a crew of about 15 people doing a photo shoot. That hashtag squad ain't blending in. We were some busy people, too. We had 8 more shoots and locations to go to in Sydney that day, so we couldn't waste time chasing the pops off every time one popped up. After my last shot on the beach, as I was walking back to the location van, a paparazzo had emerged from the bushes and was right in the sand. I said hello, joked, and asked him if he got the shot, and I was on my way. I didn't get annoyed until he showed up at lunch miles away from the beach. Oh, come on, I thought. Can't this dude go bother somebody else? There's got to be some famous Australian around here somewhere. Where the heck is Nicole Kidman when you need her? I dropped some hints to him that he should be done, and he picked up on none of them. Not even the one where I straight up, yet politely, asked him to please leave us alone so we could eat our juicy Australian steaks in peace. He snapped away through the appetizer, the main course, and the dessert. So my team and I brainstormed ways that we could have a little fun with him. As soon as we paid the check, we put our plan into action. Everyone at our table pulled out their camera phones, and we chased him down the sidewalk, snapping away. We wanted him to see how it felt. We were lighthearted, smiling, and laughing the whole time, and the quote-unquote photo shoot lasted all of 15 feet. But someone wasn't smiling at all. The pop was pissed. "Come on, dude," I said. "It's all love. We were just having a little fun being you." Then I got in the van and we drove away and had forgotten all about it as we continued to shoot around the city. When I laid my head on my pillow that night at the hotel, I'd forgotten it all. 2 weeks later, I landed at LAX Airport and was back in the U.S. of A. I enjoyed Australia, but it felt good to be home. As soon as the plane touched down, my cell phone was blowing up. Countless texts and voicemails asking me if I was okay. Was I okay? Of course I was okay. I'd just spent 3 weeks shooting Top Model in Australia and had crowned a cha-cha diva winner who was going to win the hearts of America and the world. But then more messages started to flood in, messages that revealed what the Are You Okay Concerned ones were all about. Me on the cover of every tabloid out there, with headlines like America's Next Top Waddle and Thyra Banks and Tyra tops 200 pounds. I about died when I saw that. Of laughter. I thought it was crazy, but I didn't take it seriously. But I did recognize that the people who sent them to me seemed to be enjoying every minute of it. You don't need me to tell you this, because anyone who's ever accidentally opened their phone to the selfie cam when they weren't expecting it knows. Pictures can tell all kinds of crazy stories. Oh yeah, I was bigger than usual at the time, but it was nothing that was outside my normal bigger phase range. The photos had just come out, and people were coming up to me like, "Oh my God, you look great. How did you lose all that weight in a week?" If they didn't know that it was damn near impossible for someone to lose 40 pounds in 7 days, I didn't consider it my job to enlighten them. I didn't tell people that I hadn't lost any weight at all, that it was all in the difference a paparazzi photo can make. I just tried to brush it off and change the subject. I'd say stuff like, "Oh, well, I don't know, but damn girl, you look fantastic. What type of weave hair are you using these days?" Cut to a day later. I was standing in line at the grocery store. Yes, I shop for my own groceries often. The woman in front of me was looking at the tabloid magazine covers, then turned around and looked me straight in the eyes. There was no, "OMG, Tyra, I can't believe you do your own grocery shopping," look on her face. No. Instead, she said, "If they're calling you fat, what am I?" And she said it through tears. That was when it hit me. This whole incident, it wasn't funny. And it wasn't just about me. No pun intended, but it was bigger than me. Much bigger. I called my Tyra Banks Show producers from the car on the way home. We worked on producing the response to the tabloids show for about a week. And I had intense sessions with my team of producers to bounce ideas off them and figure out exactly what I wanted to say. I gotta say thanks to Lauren Barry Blinko and John Redman. At first, I was gonna end my diatribe by saying, "To everyone who goes around calling me and other women fat, f*** you," and flip off the camera. When the show aired, we'd just bleep out my words and blur my hands, similar to how you just heard me bleep saying it now. Then we sat back and realized that we wanted this moment to be more poignant than cursing, and we didn't want to bleep or blur any part of it out, so we rewrote it. I tried so many different versions like, "Forget you," or "Kiss my butt," and even called the standards and practices the censor police of network television. "Can I say ass on TV?" I asked. We had a winner. The day of shooting, I was dressed in my little talk show dress, looking prim and proper, but something felt off. I called out to my stylist, Yanis. "Do you still have that swimsuit from Australia?" "The swimsuit?" she asked. "Yeah, the swimsuit." "Girl, yeah, it's with all that Top Model stuff over there in that suitcase." "Get it out," I said. "Why?" I started taking off my clothes. "What are you doing?" she asked, looking at me like I was crazier than I already was. "Just help me put it on," I said. She helped me yank it up, and I was about ready to exit my dressing room when I thought, Oh, shoot. I may be brave, but I ain't stupid. I called over Valente, my longtime makeup artist, who was also on the Australian beach with me, to put some body makeup on my legs and run some Victoria's Secret-like shimmer down the front of my thighs. That's a trick that makes it look like there's a muscle there when there ain't. Then I walked out the door, straight to the stage. When I entered that set, in that swimsuit and nothing else, my staff and many of my producers were as shocked as the studio audience.
I was sitting in the living room in front of the TV, sipping on my daily can of ginger ale, when Tyra strutted onto the set of her talk show sporting the same bathing suit that was plastered on the cover of every gossip magazine around the world. Of course, she had told me that she was going to address the paparazzi's blatant attempt at public humiliation, but not dressed like that. With every sip, I grew more and more proud.
I addressed the audience and was as real and as raw as was humanly possible, and ended it yelling, "Kiss my fat ass!" Oh, and I slapped my own ass super hard when I said fat, too. I had wanted the whole speech to be strong, empowering, fierce. But now as the audience screamed and cheered and teared up and even sobbed, I realized I was crying, too. What the hell? I was just laughing about all of this a week ago, but now I was feeling weak and vulnerable. WTF, what the? I needed to be strong. I needed to be a warrior. I needed to be an example to women everywhere that they could survive this body shaming without letting it break them down. I ran straight to the control booth to my director, Brian. "Brian," I said, wiping snot from my nose, "I started to cry out there, so we got to do it again, okay? And I want you to end the kiss my fat ass part with a shot close on my face, strong and defiant, because there was this woman in the grocery store, and I can't have her see me all teary. Nobody should see me crying. It's weak." Brian looked at me. Actually, he looked through me, then started walking around the booth, turning off each and every monitor. When he was done, he turned to me and said, "Tyra, go home." "What?" I said. "Go home," he repeated. "Yes, you cried. Yes, you were vulnerable. But it was real. It was you. And I'm not going to say it again after this. Go home." So I did as he said. I went home. I hardly slept for the next 2 weeks until it aired. And the day it aired changed my life forever.
Kiss my fat ass. Woo! Those four words that Tyra said, no, yelled, were not what I expected. But I was overjoyed. By the time she slapped her butt, I had leapt off the couch, spilled ginger ale all over my shirt, and had tears rolling down my cheeks. Tyra spoke in defense of all of us who have witnessed or experienced the physical and emotional change that are forced upon women throughout our lives. It was as if she was screaming in unison with all of our voices, "Enough is frigging enough." The resounding response from women and girls around the planet said it all. We were tired of feeling that we are worth nothing more than what we weigh.
That butt slap was felt everywhere, from beauty salons to office buildings to locker rooms to school playgrounds to damn near every news and online outlet in the darn universe. I saw the gorgeous and talented Adele at an Alicia Keys event, and she wrapped her arms around me and thanked me from her beautiful body and soul profusely. Women and men, too, from all over the world were writing in about how much what I said meant to them. A week later, at intermission of the musical Rent in New York City, a woman pulled me aside and said the moment saved her life, that she had a handful of pills, but experienced that moment and immediately called a suicide hotline that ended up saving her life. Time magazine named me one of the most influential people of the year, next to Barack Obama, Oprah Winfrey, and Richard Branson, and in the Heroes and Pioneers category, no less. And the speech made it onto TV Guide magazine's 60 Greatest Talk Show Moments list. I had no idea it would lead to all of that. but I realized it had this impact because it was a real moment. At the time I taped it, I thought real meant polished, a do-over, perfection. But if I had delivered that speech how I wanted to, cool and calculated and, yeah, 100% strong, like I wasn't bothered one bit by people